weapons. As Seiki was struggling with his inability to even will an attack against the ninja, he learned there was a very good reason why violence against other citizens was prohibited on palace grounds. Two palace guards immediately reached Hebe. At the same time, Seiki noticed Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, standing right there as if he had popped out of nowhere. The ninja cried in frustration at his companion. "Did you really have to do that? Who dares raise a weapon on palace grounds?" one of the guards cried, shooting what appeared to be a long chain from his sleeves, which immediately wrapped around Hebe. As soon as it tightened around her body, she evaporated into thin air. The palace guards turned to Taka. "You! You with her?" Taka cursed. His left hand threw up a long rope whose end shot straight upward and attached to the edge of the roof with magical precision. Within seconds, the ninja was halfway up the rope, with the palace guards yelling at him to surrender from below. One even shot an arrow at him, but Taka blocked it with his silver glaive as he continued his ascent. "Didn't know you two were this much trouble," said Ipe, seemingly more entertained than worried as he watched the ninja make it to the top of the roof. "This had nothing to do with her," said Seiki, troubled. "I think they were after me." From above, Taka shot Seiki a brief, hostile glare before turning and running off before the guards could shoot more arrows at him. Below, the guards quickly lost interest and went back to their posts, just as the beginning of the procession emerged from the gate, announcing its arrival with the horse hooves sounding busily on the stone pavement. Lieutenant Kato was leading the front guard on his black horse. "You three, fall in with the rear guards when they pass," he reminded them, not seeming to have noticed that Maiden was no longer alive.
"Good thing we had the seal then," said Ipe, "or the lieutenant would look very ridiculous talking to three corpses."
Seiki understood then that Hebe must have tried to attack him first, but could not. From her comments, perhaps she had attempted to land a strike on Ipe as well. Seiki eyed the white fox on the ground, which now seemed so frail and tiny. He remembered from his quick research that kitsune were originally foxes that turned into humans, not the other way around. At that moment, he wondered if he should keep her possessions safe for her. He bent down, but Ipe grabbed his arm.
"Don't touch her. Her stuff is secure. Looting is a 15-minute offense here. Palace rules are much stricter."
Then he noticed Seiki's expression.
"Hey, this happens all the time. Never seen a death before? She'll be at the palace morgue pretty soon."
It was not the first time, but Seiki could not help but feel that it was somehow his fault. He watched as one of the palace guards leaned over her and dispersed her body into smoke. Ipe sighed, observing the row of soldiers slowly walking past them.
"Now this is all a mess. Maybe we should start over."
He shouted ahead,
"Lieutenant Kato! Maybe we can do this some other time!"
Some of the guards turned to frown at his blatant lack of manners in front of the ambassadorial procession. "Do you wish to abandon rear guards, level 5, quest? If you do, you may attempt it again in 24 hours.
If we quit, is Maiden locked out of the quest too?"
Seiki asked. After all, he knew the girl had come all this way just for this quest.
"Think so."
"Well, it doesn't hurt to try," he suggested, not ready to give up quite yet. He actually had no idea what he would do for the next 24 hours if he had to wait for the quest to reset, considering the dojo had already burnt down. "And Maiden can join us later, right?" Ipe shrugged.
"If she still wants to get all the way back here from the morgue at the other side of the palace."
"And if we fail, we can make another run in 24 hours?
"Yeah,"
said Ipe. Then he chuckled.
"Well, if you want to see what it looks like, I suppose we can try right now. But just so you know, we're not going to last very long since it's already been tuned to 3 players.
The first stage of the quest turned out to be short and uneventful, just like Ipe had said. As they followed the uniformed rear guards marching in line, Seiki could not help feeling that they were completely out of place.
"How far away is the morgue?" Seiki asked again. "About 5 minutes running," said Ipe. "Kitsune are faster, but don't put your hope on that. She will need to go claim her belongings from the Palace Bureau of Rights first. We'll probably be there ourselves soon."
He nodded.
"At least they're much more courteous than the one in the city."
The procession made its way grandly down the straight main road, and a few palace maids and soldiers in training stopped to bow as they passed. From afar, faint bells could be heard, presumably from the numerous temples in the area. Occasionally, when the breeze picked up, they would smell the faint incense it brought with it. They soon crossed the palace district gate into North City. All the guards at the gate stood in line and gave them a formal salute. "Rear guards, level 5, quest progress, stage 2. Follow the rear guards and see the ambassador through North City safely." It was a bright afternoon and the sky was cloudless.
This part of the city was very quiet, and Seiki figured they must have entered an instance, since all around people were marked simply as citizen. Seiki studied the orderly row of the soldiers in front of him, with their helmets gleaming in the sunlight. There were about 20 men on foot in their rear guard, all in identical black and red armor, carrying long spears and swords. Just ahead of them was the ambassador's red-roofed carriage, flanked by 4 mounted guards on both sides, flying the blue flag of Fuoka. Lieutenant Kato was probably somewhere in the front, leading the procession. "They all help you fight," said Ipe, nodding toward the guards. "But they die pretty quickly." One rear guard turned to stare at him disapprovingly. Seiki was still studying the characters on the flag, as he thought the name sounded very familiar. "Where is Fuoka?" he asked Ipe. "Another city to the east," said Ipe. "I got as far as there when Beta ended. It's not as detailed as Shinchioka, but it's much crazier in a way. If you think shogun politics is complicated, try the factions of Fuoka." Before he could add any more, Ipe glanced up to the left and said, "And here they come." They were on a rather empty street. On one side stood the palace district wall, and on the other a row of 3-story buildings with shuttered windows. At first, Seiki did not notice anything out of the ordinary, but as they got closer, he spotted a man dressed in black on the roof, crouching low in the manner of an animal ready to pounce. Even if it was too far away to make out any details, Seiki thought the man's eyes were glowing bright red. "Demonic clan," said Ipe casually. "Watch, this is a pretty good entrance." With prodigious speed, the man leapt from the roof, his arms and legs spread wide as if skydiving. Seiki stared, certain there was no way he would survive falling from such height, but by whatever demonic power he possessed, the man landed easily on one of the mounted guards beside the carriage in a frog crouch. His weight, combined with the force of the landing, immediately brought both man and horse to the ground in a mixture of a neigh, a cry, and a loud crash. Demonic Assassin, level 10, HP 360 of 360, roared as he stood up, blood dripping from his razor-sharp and unnaturally long left-hand fingers. Seiki noticed that the unfortunate guard he had landed on was now dead in a dark pool of blood on the ground. So was his horse. "Defend the procession from attackers!" Panicked cries broke out and the guards got into action. Arrows flew at the attacker and more dark forms jumped down from nearby roofs. The assailants all looked identical. They were dressed in black, the lower half of their faces covered with dark cloth, revealing only their glowing red eyes set against their ghastly pale skin. They carried no weapons except for their long-bladed fingers, which Seiki felt were either part of their body or somehow permanently attached to their hands. The assassins were all rather small and lean, and their natural stances were low, as if in a squat. One of them, a demonic assassin, level 9, landed noisily beside Ipe, who in alarm struck out with his sweeping blade, knocking the man backward. Seiki rushed in to help. With a growl, the demonic assassin, level 9, HP 252 of 280, slashed at him with his blades. A guard, level 8, ran in and tried to stab him from behind with his spear, but the assassin was faster. He spun around to plunge his sharp fingers into the guard's stomach, immediately killing him. Seiki's focus strike hit the assassin in the chest, followed by a sweeping blade. At the same time, Ipe landed a focus strike on his back. The assassin leapt high backward in retreat. "Watch out!" said Ipe, nodding to his feet just as Seiki was about to pursue. On the ground where the attacker had been standing, there was now a patch of darkness. Seiki glanced back at the demonic assassin and became aware of something. The man no longer had a shadow.
"Like I said, don't step on shadows," said Ipe.
Seiki watched in fascination as the detached shadow on the ground lashed out horizontally with its sharp fingernails, forcing him to leap aside. The shadow patch then tried to stab one of the guards.
"It's alive and it stays there forever," explained Ipe.
The demonic assassin who had run away from them was now ripping apart another guard. A scream resounded as the guard tried to cut his attacker with his sword. That was the perfect opening. Seiki scurried around the shadow patch and hit the assassin with his focus strike, using up all his energy. Demonic assassin slain. 64 XP gained. With the first one down, Seiki peeked around to find that 2 more demonic assassins, at level 8 and level 9, had dropped down from the roof. Several guards were fighting them with spears. Ipe ran behind a group of 4 guards and only struck out occasionally with his bamboo sword when he had the chance.
"Do they just keep coming?" asked Seiki.
This was the first time fighting so many enemies at once, and it seemed completely chaotic. Most of the assassins were quickly picked up by the guards, who seemed to be fighting them in groups of 3 or 4.
"I don't know," cried Ipe. "When you solo, there aren't this many."
The demonic assassin,
level 9, had killed one guard and now joined his level 8 companion in attacking the guards in front of Ipe.
You think you can take this level 9?
Ipe jumped back as one of the guards in front of him fell.
These guys can't handle him!
Siki did not have the required energy, so he could only run in and hit the level 9 on the head with his normal move. Beside him, two guards were keeping the other assassin at bay with their spears. Siki had to strike the attacker twice more before he finally got his attention. The level 9 spun around and slashed out with his bladed fingers, which caught one of the guards rushing to help instead. By now, Siki was ready for another focused strike. He lunged at the assassin, who staggered back and leapt high to detach his shadow as he changed targets. Siki threw himself back to avoid the sentient shadow patch before it could grow its own razor fingernails. In the meantime, Ipe and the three guards around him had finally managed to kill the level 8. Demonic assassin slain. 15 XP gained. Factoring in the guards, Siki was not entirely sure what he was supposed to do in all this, so he just targeted whatever enemy happened to be in front of him. Jumping over the shadow patch to help the guards with the escaped level 9, Siki shouted to Ipe,
"How many more of them?"
Ipe laughed.
"Oh, we haven't even gotten started."
Siki landed another focused strike on the assassin as he caught up. The guards then managed to spear the man in the chest. Demonic assassin slain. 43 XP gained. Siki was somehow a little bothered. The whole battle seemed completely out of his control. What he chose to do did not seem to matter very much in the end, especially considering the guards' role. The latter could inflict significant damage if they managed to connect with their weapons, but they tended to die quickly whenever the assailants got a direct hit in. In short, things were quite unpredictable. Looking around, Seiki noticed that the remaining rear guards were fighting three assassins, with a rather abysmal rate of success. Of the original 20 or so rear guards, there were now only slightly more than half left. Seiki glanced ahead and saw that the mounted guards were not doing any better. Ipe did not seem to be trying very hard, perhaps not expecting to make it through the assault. The assassins are attacking the ambassador. At the carriage, above the corpses of two guards, one assassin was hanging from the roof of the ambassador's carriage. He was using his bladed left hand to stab into the side of the passenger's car. Red splinters flew as he worked his way through the wood. One more level 8 dropped down nearby, and Ipe's three guards rushed at him with swords and spear. Seiki made a guess that it was more important to save the ambassador, so he sped toward the carriage. His bamboo sword struck the hanging demonic assassin, level 9, HP 231 of 280, on his back. The man turned around to snarl at him before suddenly detaching his shadow onto the ground. Siki dodged aside as the shadow fell half on the ground and half on the wheel in an unnatural manner.
"What's with the shadows?"
he shouted, hoping Ipe might know a trick or two about them. At least, it would be helpful to know whether they were predictable or whether they could be killed.
"Lore-wise?"
Ipe shouted back.
"These guys tap into ancient demonic powers. You should see their shadow army with shadow horses, like a battle on two levels. Really have to watch where you're going. Shogun's really afraid of them."
That was not the kind of answer he was looking for. The assassin had returned his attention to destroying the carriage.
Never mind,
Seiki shouted as he hit the man again with a blunt strike on his arm. The assassin glared at him, then pushed himself off the carriage in a high leap towards Seiki. At the same time, the shadow patch on the ground slashed out with its blades. Seiki threw himself to the side. He suddenly felt something right behind him. Out of instinct, he twisted just in time to turn a direct stab from a demonic assassin, level 8, into a graze of moderately mild damage. Seiki caught his balance, ducked low, and his sweeping blade knocked both of them back. Demonic assassin, level 8, HP 168 of 210. Demonic assassin, level 9, HP 145 of 280. The two aggressors growled at him. Out of energy again, he was not sure how he would be able to keep them off. A sweeping blade without energy was nothing more than a regular move. The level 9 jumped forward, his bladed left hand stretched out for a full attack. Siki managed to knock it away with his bamboo sword when the level 8 also leapt in, his already bloody fingers raised high like a claw. Ipe's bamboo sword blocked the finger blades before they could hurt Siki. In reply, the level 8 dropped his shadow right on top of them. The black patch lashed out and slashed Ipe on the leg. Ipe, level 5, HP 24 of 102. Energy 22 of 65.
Ugh, grunted Ipe.
Seiki grabbed him and pulled him aside with his left hand as his right struck out with an energyless sweeping blade at the two attackers. Together, they retreated back into a group of guards. The assassins are attacking the ambassador. Another assassin was now going for the passenger car, and two more guards rushed in to repel him.
Do we have to do anything about that? Seki asked, nodding toward the carriage.
Nah, said Ipe.
Seki was not sure if he meant it as part of the quest design or if he simply was not trying.
Okay, we both need to be fighting one at a time, Seki said, coming up with a strategy.
That was their best chance. The opponents were of higher levels, and with his current damage output, Seki did not think his energy would allow him to take on two at once. Ipe seemed surprised.
You're really doing this?
What do you mean?
Ipe nodded toward the chaos around them. No heals, and these guys aren't even tuned to our levels. I thought you just wanted to see what it looked like.
Perhaps he was right. From what Seki could see, there were now at least six or seven more assassins around, and he had no idea if that would be all.
One touch from them and I'm dead,
Ipe said, not really seeming to care.
I'm going to try getting their attention and you hit them from behind, said Seki.
Ipe's health was very low, but without his help, Seki doubted they would make it.
Try to stay alive, and only join in if you think you'll be safe.
Without waiting for Ipe's answer, Seki ran forward. He charged at the demonic assassin, level 9, HP 132 of 280, taking note of the grim fact that the guards had not managed to make any dent in his health at all from where Seki had left him last. He knew focused strike was more efficient against a single target, and Master Tsujihara had taught him well as how not to waste a single point of energy. Once his energy ticked to the required 48, he rushed in and struck the man straight in the middle of his chest. That immediately got the adversary's attention, and the demonic assassin, level 9, HP 55 of 280, clambered to his feet and sped towards Seki, his left hand slashing a guard's throat along the way. Seki winced at how easily the guard dropped dead, and he blocked the assassin's finger blades with his sword. His foot kicked at the man's shoulder, knocking him off balance. Even without energy, every normal blow helped to chip away at the enemy's health, and Seki brought his sword down toward the man's head. However, just before it connected, a razor-sharp coldness scraped against his side. The level 8 nearby had managed to kill one of the guards and had turned his attention on Seki. Grunting, Seki swung his bamboo sword around and hit the assassin across the face before he could sink his fingers further into his flesh. The level 9 below him raised his arm and pierced his icy-bladed fingers through Seki's legs. Seki drew a short breath as his health dropped. Coming to the rescue, Ipe rushed in with sweeping blade, hitting both the assassins and giving Seki a second to recover. Still with energy to spare, since he had not been spending any, Ipe's sword shot forward and his focused strike finished off the level 9. Demonic assassin slain. 41 XP gained. Wasting no time and ignoring the numbness in his leg, Seki spun around and brought down two more strikes on the level 8.
Keep hitting him!
Cried Ipe as he ran in and helped clobber the man to death. Demonic assassin slain. 33 XP gained. Seki took a deep breath. That one stab had taken more than two-thirds of his health, and Ipe's was lingering dangerously low. They were both out of energy. Around them, Seki counted four more assassins. The guards were mostly dead. One of the remaining few was faring very terribly against two attackers.
Okay, said Seki, taking another deep breath as he looked back at Ipe. Same strategy?
Ipe stared at him for a second, then shook his head and snickered.
You're really not giving up, are you?
No, said Seki, and he charged at another assassin. It was a level 8, and therefore slightly less dangerous, both for him and Ipe. He thought they would try to pick them off one by one as fast as they could while there were guards still alive. Luckily, from the chaos of the fray, this particular demonic assassin, level 8, was already at half health. Seki went on a full attack, hitting him with a normal sweeping blade, then another one, while Ipe waited on the side and lunged in when he had a chance with his energyless focus strike. It was not the most elegant method, but it did the trick, and the man eventually collapsed. Demonic assassin slain. 21 XP gained. Seki grimaced at his bamboo sword, which was getting sticky from all the blood on it. The nearly dead guard ran off to fight another assassin, shouting,
"For the Shogun!"
before immediately dying as he inadvertently stepped over a shadow patch.
This is crazy!
Ipe started laughing. As he met Seki's eyes, Seki could see that he was starting to have fun. They dashed toward the nearest group where two guards were fighting one assassin. Seki had enough energy saved for one focused strike before they had to resort to clobbering again.
The most pathetic escorts the Shogun has ever seen,
Ipe chuckled as he haphazardly swung his bamboo sword at the assassin. Without energy to spare, it was really taking a while. Demonic assassin, level 9, HP 163 of 280. The assassin had separated his shadow right under himself, and it was let loose, causing both Seki and Ipe to jump backward. The blade slashed one of the guard's leg.
Yet the man did not move, and he continued to lunge his sword at the assassin, missing most of the time. Ipe was laughing uncontrollably, bringing his sword down on the assassin's back while the bad guy tried to strike out at Seiki. This is what you do when you're missing a level 8 Kitsune in your group.
Not anymore.
Kicking away the assassin's bladed hand that was coming at his leg, Seiki stole a quick glance over his shoulder. Maiden, alive and well, had appeared out of nowhere, and she had already taken care of an assassin further away. One of the guards beside him cried out as he was struck, and Seiki swung his sword again at the attacker before he could slay the unfortunate guard, who was still taking unnecessary damage from the shadow patch on the ground.
There you go,
Seiki heard Myrin say, and his health filled up in 3 small bursts. The cold numbness from the stab wound immediately disappeared.
What about me?
Asked Ipe, pausing his methodless assault on the assassin and looking over to her.
You?
Myrin said.
No need. I got a better idea.
Suddenly, a white fox dashed forward past Seiki and leapt onto the assassin they were fighting. She sank her teeth into his neck, and the man went down with a scream. Demonic assassin slain. 19 XP gained. Ipe has reached level 6. Ipe jumped as the leveling joy presumably rushed through him, filling his health and energy. Maiden must have noticed that he'd been so close to leveling up.
Congrats,
said Maiden rather proudly.
Now that's more like it.
Ipe grinned, his eyes now sparkling with life. He swung his bamboo sword excitedly, pleased that it would do more damage.
Okay, what happened back there?
Maiden asked casually, looking at them.
One moment we're starting the quest, and the next, this rituals guy is sprinkling incensed water over me in the morgue.
Seiki felt relieved she did not seem at all bothered by it. He quickly explained, and she wrinkled her brow.
Shadow Manor?
Seems to be a group of ninjas, said Seiki. That was as much as he knew. Maiden rubbed her chin.
What did you ever do to them for them to waste shogun points on a low level?
What's that?
Every time you initiate an attack on a player, you actually lose a few points with the shogun.
Yeah, said Ipe. That's how the shogun keeps his citizens behaving and discourages serial killers.
With Maiden there and Ipe leveled, it was suddenly much easier, and Seiki realized this stage of the quest was not even designed to be challenging at all. It quickly took care of the remaining assassins with a few focus strikes and Maiden's smoky magic. Then they stood and observed the situation. It was indeed a scene of carnage. Only 3 rear guards remained standing. 4 of the mounted guards were still alive, but they had lost all their horses. To Seiki's surprise, the vicious shadow patches on the ground showed no sign of fading away.
That was only the first wave, said Ipe. They stay for the whole instance.
Seiki could imagine how it would get more and more difficult to avoid the shadows if more kept coming. The quest progress still had it at stage 2, so this little break was just to give them time to rest. The guards were regrouping, and some of them took a drink from small bottles that must have been health potions. The street was empty, and the citizens, if they had been there before, had now cleared out. The ambassador's red carriage still had its windows and door tightly shut. Despite the nasty scratches on the sides of the passenger car, it still seemed pretty intact.
So you don't actually have to save the ambassador,
Seiki mused out loud.
No,
said Ipe.
I think they only successfully break through the carriage if you're a Hoshi soloing this, and you have to heal the ambassador and the guards to keep them all alive. Instanced quests are tuned to your class.
I gotta tell Kentaro.
Maiden made a note to herself. Ipe glanced around.
Second wave,
he warned, as if he could sense them. Guard the ambassador. Maiden narrowed her eyes.
How did you know?
On my first samurai in beta, I did it 4 times. Kept dying when the arrows came.
They immediately learned what he was talking about, as the second wave was preceded by a hail of arrows from the roofs. The remaining guards quickly formed a tight circle around the carriage, defending themselves with shields.
You gotta hide,
cried Ipe, running toward the wall of shields while arrows whisked down around them. Maiden popped into fox form and dashed behind him. Seiki rushed after them, turning in time to block one arrow with his bamboo sword before it could pierce his back. Just as soon, he felt a cold stab on his shoulder. He threw himself behind the safety of the shields before he had time to look at what had struck him. It was a black arrow. Seiki tried to yank it out, but to his surprise, his fingers simply passed through it. That was when he realized it was made entirely out of shadow.
Double arrows, said Ipe, perhaps a bit too late.
One real, one shadow.
The arrow in its initial pierce had done almost no damage, but Seiki could now feel his health slowly decreasing. Maiden moved toward him and tried to grab it, also to no avail. As his health dropped further, she put her 3-burst heal on him, which filled up the missing bit but did nothing to stop the slow decline.
Do you need a cleanse or something?
Maiden wondered, seemingly worried.
I don't have anything like that yet. You'll need a Hoshi.
The guards around them were crying in alarm as they held their ground against the arrow storm. One of them fell backward when he eventually got struck by a shadow arrow, which had managed to slip through a narrow opening between the shields. Ipe was sitting on the ground as if waiting. With a smile, he leaned back and knocked on the carriage.
Ambassador, it's your turn now.
It was uncertain whether Ipe had timed it perfectly or if the ambassador really reacted to him. The door of the carriage opened. In the middle of the ornate, red interior carriage, the ambassador of Fuoka sat calmly amid the perfect folds of her long-sleeved blue-and-white kimono that was spread around her. Oh, said Seiki in surprise. Maiden turned to look, and her eyes widened in delight at the sight.
Oh,
she said too. The ambassador was a woman on the far end of her years of youth, and her dark eyes shone with serene authority. Seiki felt a slight melancholic air about the ambassador as she slowly observed the situation.
This is rather premature, but I have no other option,
she said softly, more to herself than to them. She reached into her long sleeve and produced a cloth pouch. She slowly undid its knot with her delicate hands.
You might want to hurry up, ambassador, said Ipe. Another guard is down.
Maiden shushed him as she watched the scene. In the cloth pouch was a round, pearly white object the size of a pigeon's egg. Gracefully, with both hands, the ambassador slid the window of the passenger car open, just enough to let in a beam of sunlight. With the large pearl nested in her right hand, she slowly raised it toward the sun ray. As soon as the light touched it, the pearl seemed to explode. Both Seiki and Maiden ducked down beneath the doorway out of reflex when they realized that it was not a physical explosion at all. Peering back up, Seiki could note that the pearl in the ambassador's hand was letting out a kind of radiance that was not exactly light, since it created no shadows, but rather a gentle aura that seemed to dye the air around it a little extra shade of creamy white. The pearl-colored sphere was quickly spreading out in all direction. As it passed through Seiki, he could feel a mildly pleasant sensation on his skin, like when getting back into bed in the middle of the night and finding it still warm. The shadow arrow in his shoulder dispersed and his health stopped declining. Maiden quickly topped up his missing health again, and Seiki told himself that he definitely liked getting heals. Around the carriage, the light sphere reached the guards. Seiki could now see that the light was acting as a protective barrier against the shadow arrows.
Action time, said Ipe enthusiastically as he grabbed his bamboo sword. They're gonna run out of arrows soon.
It was as he had said. After a few moments, the sound of arrowheads striking the metal shields died down. The guards lowered their shields to observe the situation, and Seiki could notice that the light sphere now covered an area about 10 feet around the carriage. He also remarked that the shadow patches on the ground within the radius of the light sphere had also disappeared. The attackers jumped down from the roof for physical combat. There were 8 of them in total, half of which seemed to be demonic assassins they had fought earlier, while the rest were a different kind and held themselves upright rather than in a semi-crouch. There were slightly fewer of them than in the first wave, and Seiki wondered if the calibration had taken the number of remaining guards into consideration.
Demonic archers?
Said Maiden, wondering at the label on the new enemies.
Okay, I see. We just fought evil ninjas, and now there are evil ryoshi in the mix.
Even before Ipe had rushed out, Maiden used her kitsune dash and leapt at one of the demonic archers. White puffy smoke exploded around him before the kitsune went for his throat and killed him. Another demonic archer further away shot an arrow at her. The white fox yelped as she was struck by both the real and shadow projectiles, but this instance was tuned to her level after all, so it did not do much damage. The fox dashed back into the sphere of light. The shadow arrow dispersed, while the real one faded as soon as Maiden turned back into human form and broke off its shaft.
Interesting,
she said as she tossed the broken shaft to one side and filled her own health.
You know, there's a reason why ryoshi hate kitsune, and I can confirm that these new guys are indeed ryoshi.
With a battle cry, the attackers launched their assault, and that was a cue for the guards to rush out to meet them with swords. Ipe followed them as they took on one of the assassins, and all around, fights broke out once again in full scale. To Seiki's left, a pair of guards was fighting an assassin. Further away, beyond the light sphere, an archer fired arrow after arrow at them, which, when added up, were doing quite significant damage to the guards. Guard, level 8, HP 165 of 220. Demonic assassin, level 9, HP 247 of 280. Guard, level 8, HP 114 of 220. They only had 7 guards left and could not afford to lose another. Siki charged at the demonic archer, leaping over several patches of shadow that tried to claw at his legs before landing a perfect focus strike on the man. Demonic Archer, level 9, HP 154 of 230. Frustrated, the archer grunted and tossed out an object at the ground underneath Seiki. It looked quite similar to Yamura's trap, which he had seen in action before, though larger and pitch black. With a sweep of his sword, Seiki knocked it a few feet away, slightly surprised at the heavy impact he felt on the sword. The archer tossed out another trap and another. Remembering how fast the Yoshi could do it, Seiki decided to just jump out of the path. To his right, a guard who had been taking on an assassin on his own let out a scream as the man slashed him across the chest. The archer had shot out 2 more arrows. Seiki managed to block one with his bamboo sword, but he winced as the other caught him in his arm, and both shadow arrows lodged themselves into his side. Following Maiden's lead, and knowing he could afford to take the shadow drain for a bit, he broke off the physical one and rushed at the archer, hitting him with another focus strike. Demonic Archer, level 9. HP 79 of 230. The archer grunted and again reacted by throwing out trap after trap as he backed away. The archers were weaker than their assassin comrades, and Seiki knew that his level was just slightly too low to be able to kill them with 3 consecutive special abilities. Knocking the first trap aside, he ran in, landed a normal hit on the man, before finishing him off with the 3rd focused strike. Demonic Archer slain. 48 XP gained. Seiki had almost made it back into the light sphere to get rid of the 2 shadow arrows when he felt a cold pierce between his shoulder blades. Another physical arrow, as well as its phantom counterpart, had struck him. The 2 shadow arrows had been eating away at his health all this time, and this new damage suddenly brought it below half. Before he could worry, though, Myron's 3-burst heal filled up his missing health. Just in time, as the assassin to his right, who had killed the guard he had been fighting, lunged himself at Seiki. The force of the impact brought him to the ground. Out of real experience, Seiki twisted his body to avoid being trapped under the assailant. His left hand shot forward in a strike at the assassin's neck, knocking the man off him. At the same time, he felt big, powerful teeth closing around his lower body as some archer tossed a trap right on them. He gasped as 2 more arrows, 1 real, 1 shadow, pierced his side. Maiden's heel topped up his health again as the demonic assassin, level 8, got to his feet, ran in, and detached his shadow. The trap expired then, and Seiki rolled out of the way before the shadow patch could cut him. Not in the position to use focus strike, he swung out with sweeping blade, whacking the demonic assassin backward. A white fox shot past him and leapt onto the demonic assassin, who was already missing some health, and finished him off with a bite. Demonic assassin slain. 26 XP gained.
A little help here, guys?
Cried Ipe. Back at the carriage, Ipe and the only standing guard were fighting the remaining 3 attackers. 2 assassins and 1 archer. At that moment, the guard fell, and Ipe, at a third of his health, out of energy, and too low of a level for his normal moves to do much damage, ran beside the carriage before 1 assassin could stab him. Maiden shot her heel at him, using up her last bit of energy. Seiki dashed back toward them. Demonic Assassin, level 8, HP 178 of 210. Demonic Assassin, level 9, HP 119 of 280. Beside the carriage, Ipe blocked an attack by the nearest assassin and dived to avoid an incoming arrow from the archer who had earlier fired at Seiki. The shadow arrow disappeared as soon as it entered the light sphere, and the physical one only grazed him on the side but still did significant damage. Ipe, level 6, HP 48 of 128, energy 14 of 80. The demonic assassin, level 8, was closing in on Ipe, who had not managed to get up to his feet. Seiki was out of energy, and he knew his companion could not survive another hit. Right before the assassin could strike with his left, Seiki sprang forward and landed on top of the brute. It was an unplanned move out of necessity, and Seiki struggled with the assailant on the ground. His bamboo sword was quickly gone in the confused tussle, and when he saw the chance, he brought his knee to the man's stomach. The assassin's flailing right hand hit him on the arm. Luckily, without a weapon, it did little damage, so Seiki took the chance to throw 2 punches on his face. The man was trying to raise his bladed left hand when, beside them, Ipe managed to grab hold of the assassin's wrist and pin it to the ground. From behind, Seiki heard an arrow whisk through the air. He cursed as he felt its icy pierce once again in his back. Ipe let go of the man's wrist as the other remaining assassin approached them from the rear. In a desperate sweeping blade, he sent the man back. At the same moment, Seiki's energy recharged just enough. He hit the assassin under him squarely in the chest with a bare-handed focus strike, just before the bladed fingers, now free from Ipe's grip, could reach his chest. Demonic assassin slain. 35 XP gained. Seiki picked up his bamboo sword from the ground beside the dead assassin, thinking how Master Tsujihara would surely disapprove of his method.
Damn,
Ipe said as he looked ahead. With the carriage unguarded, the remaining assassin was now going straight for the ambassador.
Can't let the ambassador die or we have to do it all over,
he said, scrambling to his feet. The assassin had already leapt up onto the carriage, but he came tumbling down with an angry growl. Seiki and Ipe made it to the doorway and found the ambassador still alive, albeit slightly pale. Her right hand was still holding up the light pearl, and her left was clutching the hilt of a dagger, whose blade was dripping with blood. A relieved smile broke out on Ipe's face.
Well done, ambassador!
Seiki spun around and hit the assassin in the head as the enemy was getting up to his feet. Joining the fight, Maiden the Fox came flying forward to take a rather harmless snip at the man. She had already used up all her energy in killing the remaining archer. All three of them were now effectively out of points. Seiki and Ipe exchanged a glance and went in and finished the man off with some awkward clobbering. Demonic assassin slain. 29 XP gained.
Not the cleanest kill, I've got to say,
Maiden said with a grin as her heels filled their health.
We lost too many guards in the first wave, said Ipe, exhaling as he recovered from the excitement. Or it wouldn't be this close.
Seiki scanned the area around him. All the guards were dead, but there were no more living assailants in sight. The sun was still high up in the clear sky, and the street was completely empty.
Told you Seiki is good at not dying,
Maiden said. For some reason, she sounded proud.
Yeah, said Ipe, grinning. Great tanking.
And heals, Seiki added, looking at Maiden. Ipe jumped up and sat on the floor of the carriage right in front of the ambassador, who had now put away her dagger and light pearl.
You sure you should be sitting there?
Asked Maiden. Ipe shrugged.
Unlike the Shogun, who will throw you in jail for the slightest verbal offense, the ambassador doesn't mind. Right, ambassador?
The ambassador said nothing but gave him one unreadable look. All around was quiet now, and the bodies of the fallen, both guards and demonic intruders, were slowly dispersing or fading away. Still, the shadow patches beyond what had been the light barrier earlier remained. Before Seiki could ask, Ipe gestured his left hand flamboyantly toward the roof.
And here comes wave three.
What?
Seiki and Maiden cried out at the same time. Maiden's eyes widened.
This thing is still not over?
More shadows had appeared on the roof like dark clouds creeping up on the horizon and soon started to jump down around them. This time there were more than 20 of them, a mixture of the assassins and archers. They had no guards left. Seiki looked warily at the enemies approaching, who were slowly surrounding the carriage and closing in with calculated steps.
Relax,
said Ipe, swinging his legs idly as he leaned back.
Why?
Asked Maiden.
Noticed how Lieutenant Kato is not among the dead?
That was when they heard the cavalry. Chapter 12. Led by Lieutenant Kato, the 40-men-strong Shinchioka cavalry stormed down the street. It fell upon the attackers with such fury that the demonic intruders turned to flee in terror as soon as they spotted the horsemen. Arrows, like angered wasps, flew at the demonic assailants before the cavalrymen arrived in a thunder of hooves. Blades flashed, and fierce clanks of metal upon metal could be heard, interspersed with valiant cries of,
"For the Shogun!"
and,
"For Shinchioka!"
A group of assassins tried to fight their way through, but the cavalry broke out into a two-row formation and had them cornered against a wall. In a final hail of arrows, the last of the assailants fell in a long wail, and it was all over in the matter of minutes. Seiki could not help but be impressed by the efficiency of the whole operation. Compared to the procession guards, these elite soldiers seemed a completely different class.
Did Lieutenant Kato actually slip away to get help during the fight? Or did he just fade and come back right now?
Maiden wondered, as she observed the lieutenant, who was now ordering his men to tend to the wounded. He seemed like a man two-thirds on his way to his middle years, and Seiki just now noticed that the blood on the lieutenant's armor and sleeves, either his own or the enemy's, had dried rather than faded, giving him a battle-worn look.
He rides off just before the end of the first wave, said Ipe. I wondered the same thing, and finally kept an eye on him when I did this last time on my kitsune. I actually dashed after him to see how far I could go, but I couldn't catch up with his horse.
Maiden was shaking her head to herself.
I really can't imagine you as a kitsune.
She thought for a moment, her eyes still observing Ipe's expression.
Silver,
she guessed.
Silver gray,
said Ipe.
Maiden seemed pleased.
Pretty close.
Ipe gave an amused shrug.
Fur color? Seiki ventured.
Yeah, we come in different color variations,
said Maiden.
Different colors give you a different stat boost. We were all ash-colored pups before we got the pick at level 5.
So that's the real Kitsune perk,
Seiki inferred out loud.
Exactly,
said Maiden.
Not just free rides.
She shot a glance at Ipe. Seiki had not seen that many Kitsune around, at least not in fox form. Thinking back, he remembered that the last one he encountered in East City was rather yellowish.
White gives you extra health. Silver-gray gives you half attack and half dodge. You pick whatever, depending on your playstyle. But it doesn't really make that big of a difference right now until we can go nine-tailed.
Maiden then looked at Seiki, cocking her head in thought.
As for you, Seiki...
Before she could get to her conclusion as to what color Kitsune Seiki should be, Lieutenant Kato approached them and dropped down on one knee in front of the ambassador. Seiki moved out of the way and Maiden quickly pulled Ipe off the carriage.
Forgive me, Lady Ambassador, to have allowed you to come so close to danger, said Lieutenant Kato. These are the Shogun's personal guards, who will accompany you to the East Gate, where the Fuoka Honor troops are waiting to escort you home.
The ambassador nodded, causing the gold and silver jeweled pins in her hair to jingle and reflect in the sunlight.
Thank you, Lieutenant,
said the ambassador.
Who would have thought they would dare carry out such an audacious attack right in the city? Dark powers have indeed grown strong beyond your west gate.
She then gestured to Seiki and his two companions.
Luckily, these brave people protected me, to whom I express my highest gratitude.
She turned to look at each one of them, a gentle smile in her eyes.
You did pretty well yourself, Ipe grinned. Now that was something I had not seen.
Please don't mind him, Lady Ambassador,
said Maiden.
Let us tend to the living first.
The ambassador gracefully stepped out from the carriage and held her light pearl in the sun to help those injured by shadow arrows, as well as disperse the remaining shadow patches on the ground. As Seiki watched the dark spots evaporate, a thought occurred to him.
What if it's night and it's all shadows? He asked Ipe.
Oh, then that's hell, said Ipe. He let out a little chuckle as he thought of something.
You ever heard of the Arc of Eclipse?
Seiki shook his head.
Not sure about the name, continued Ipe. It's a unique bow with the ability to turn day into night for a few minutes. Someone pulled a prank once and used it to fire an arrow over the whole army when they were riding into battle with the demonic clan.
Ipe laughed.
Utter slaughter. Some old beta players are still sore about that.
Like in a lot of situations Seiki had encountered, there were just too many things where explanations would be more than welcome, so he simply stuck with the most basic question.
You can actually go into battle with the demonic clan?
The concept sounded intriguing, especially since Seiki now remembered vaguely that earlier Ipe had mentioned something about their army of shadow horses, which he was sure would be quite a sight to behold. Ipe grinned.
That's why we're even doing this quest in the first place. It unlocks war events. You get your own bunch of guys who you train and lead into battle, who, mind you, are much better than these guards.
He sighed happily.
The best is when you get a military order from the Shogun and ride with your clanmates, commanding your own army. Biggest event we ever did was Taguchi Plains, with over 20,000 troops. Can you imagine that?
Seiki could very clearly imagine 20,000 people, who he was certain would resemble tiny specks of audience members crammed around a stadium, all screaming and chanting as names flashed on gigantic screens in bright colors, and suddenly the vision made him nauseous.
Typical samurai,
whispered Maiden to Seiki, before noticing his expression. Her eyes widened in concern.
What's wrong?
Seiki took a deep breath and pushed the thought away.
Nothing, he said.
Still lost in his thoughts, Ipe did not hear them.
That was a long time ago.
He seemed to be talking to himself before chuckling a bit wistfully.
Too bad the people I used to play with all grew up.
Maiden was still looking at Seiki questioningly, but when he met her eyes, she pressed no more, burst into fox form, and dashed off to run around Lieutenant Kato. Seiki concentrated instead on the scene in front of him. The troops had replaced the ambassador's carriage horses. Lieutenant Kato rode toward Seiki and Ipe and commended them for their excellent service to the Shogun. He told them to follow behind, ensuring them that the Shogun would hear about their bravery in defending the ambassador. Rear guards, level 5, quest progress, stage 3. See the ambassador to the east gate safely.
Counting on you to get a good word in for us with the Shogun, Lieutenant,
cried Ipe as the procession moved out again.
Why does the ambassador have the magic pearl?
Maiden wondered. She had fallen back in line with them behind the guards at the end of the procession.
And how is Shinchioka going to defend itself without the magic pearl if she takes it back home?
We've a similar thing called light essence, said Ipe. Alchemists, priests, and whatnot in the palace actually make them. That's why you can turn in rare ones at the palace for shogun honors. Good reason to pick up mining as a skill.
Then why isn't everyone carrying them?
Maiden did not give up.
These light essence things.
Actually, Ipe stopped himself and smiled.
You'll see. When?
In a hurry, aren't we? Said Ipe. They had turned right at the end of the road onto a slightly narrower street lined with shops, where several residents could be seen peeking out from behind shuttered windows. Passers-by stopped to bow and were told rather sternly by the troops to go indoors out of safety concerns. Seiki had now gotten his bearings of Shinchioka and recognized they were in East City. There were only a few main streets in this part of the city that were presentable, and they traveled on one. Still, Seiki could make out the little alleys that broke off into the winding labyrinth of rundown buildings behind all the respectable storefronts. Another left turn at a large building with an open yard, which seemed to be a wine distillery, brought them onto a wide, straight street with greenish, knee-height lampposts. At the end of the street was a large, curved gate that was painted in a shade of deep blue-green. Once they drew closer, Seiki saw that it was in the shape of a dragon. Its body, decorated with carved scales, was spread along the length of the city wall in gentle waves, and its head looked pensively backward and up at the north sky. This had to be the East Gate, the Gate of the Azure Dragon.
Now,
said Ipe all of a sudden.
Maiden looked back at him.
What? Now, said Ipe again with a smile. Answering your question.
A chilly wind blew and a cloud seemed to pass over the sun. Yet when Seiki looked up, he discovered that the sky was still clear blue without a hint of white. Nervous murmurs broke out among the soldiers. Then someone pointed ahead and Seiki watched as the shadow from a building in front of them grew long, as if some invisible hand had dragged the sun lower in the sky. Lieutenant Kato could be heard yelling from in front of the procession. Positions! The troops knew their duty and rushed into their double crescent formation around the growing shadow, bows drawn. The horses grew restless and started to toss anxiously. Seiki readied his bamboo sword, but Ipe stopped him.
Not our cue yet.
The shadow gathered on the ground like droplets of black mercury. It soon started to take on a shape, before eventually rising from the ground in the form of a large humanoid, about twice as tall as a normal person. His face was almost a square, with a protruding large jaw that was almost a snout. His torso was broad and thick, and fully clad in full black armor that was even darker than the shadow he was made of. Around his body, darkness seemed to gather, and the edges around it wavered like desert air in a mirage. Kaganushi, level unknown, glanced at the troops in an expression both of disgust and amusement, his glowing red pupils like molten lava behind hollowed sockets studying them. His voice was deep and tinged with a strange kind of a distorted echo.
How warmly Shinchioka welcomes its guest.
What's that thing?
Maiden whispered.
Shadow Lord, said Ipe. Bad guy. That much is obvious,
muttered Maiden. Lieutenant Kato drew his sword. He seemed to recognize the demon.
Kaganushi, he cried. Leave! Your assassins were all defeated.
The demon looked down at him.
That is hardly the way to talk to your future master.
He paused to take a deliberate long glance at the band on the man's shoulder.
Lieutenant.
His face broke into a sneer, showing empty darkness behind his thin lips.
You know what I am here for.
Lieutenant Kato wasted no more words and charged at the demon with a cry. His drawn sword was now glowing with light. The demon raised his hand and a shadow in the shape of a large blade shot out, as wide as a person's arm. Lieutenant Kato swiftly turned his horse sideways and parried it with two hands on the hilt of his sword. The light blade cut through the approaching shadow with a violent force that Seiki could feel from behind the carriage 30 feet away. The demon shot out another blade, but Lieutenant Kato was already on him, his bright sword raised high. He struck down at the demon's body, and as his blade touched the shadow armor, the air seemed to explode with sound. All around, the horses jerked as if trying to flee, and panic wavered through the mounted troops. Taken by surprise, the lieutenant let out a cry as he was thrown off his horse by some unseen force. His mount bolted and galloped off. One of his men cried, "Lieutenant Kato!" and spurred his horse forward in an attempt to aid him. The demon turned his attention to the soldiers.
As soon as his glance fell on them, the troops went completely silent, as if suddenly muted, and their weapons dropped onto the ground in a rain of metal clanks. Siki strained his eyes to see what had happened. They were all frozen in fear, cowering on their horses. Whatever force that had hurled the lieutenant from his horse must have been powerful enough to have done significant damage. Lieutenant Kato drew ragged breaths as he struggled to get up from the ground.
"Lieutenant Kato, is it?"
said Kaganushi slowly, with interest. He moved closer to the injured man, studying him.
"If I remember correctly, there was once a commander, Kato."
The lieutenant, still too hurt to speak, stared up at him, his eyes burning with hate as he tightened his grip on his sword.
"Commander Kato, famed commander of the Morishige army,"
he said, and seemed pleased that the lieutenant's expression confirmed his suspicion.
"Was an uncompromising man,"
the demon went on, turning to look at the petrified troops as if they were his audience.
"No matter what you did, he would not budge an inch. At the time, I knew he had a young son, whose name he said with his dying breath."
He looked back at Lieutenant Kato. Fueled by fury, the lieutenant leapt to his feet and charged at the demon. "Bastard!" he cried. Seki recognized the move as focus strike, with the sword glowing brightly in a forward lunge. Kaganushi only had to wave his hand, and the unseen force again threw the lieutenant violently aside.
"Your father was a more patient man, Lieutenant. Wait for me to finish."
Turning back to the mounted troops and strutting around slowly in the manner of an orator, the demon continued.
"After all these years, I have always wondered, in a similar situation, would his son make the same choice?"
The demon stopped in front of the lieutenant.
"So now I give you the same options, Lieutenant Kato. Give me the Seed of Light, and I will let you and your men live. Refuse, and you will be responsible for their deaths."
Lieutenant Kato said nothing.
"Not enough incentive, then?"
said the demon. He turned a glance at the carriage.
"Tomoaki Hime of Fuoka, please don't make me knock."
The door of the carriage opened, and the ambassador stepped down. She said nothing, but her eyes shone with calm defiance as she turned to face the demon.
"Ah, it is really you, Tomoaki Hime,"
Kaganushi said, nodding his head in a mock salute.
"I have long heard about you. It is a pleasure to finally make your acquaintance."
The demon turned back to the lieutenant, who had managed to prop himself up with his arms.
"Lieutenant Kato, perhaps you are a man of duty, just like your father. I understand that your orders were simply to guard the ambassador, with nothing that concerns the Seed of Light. Am I correct?"
Kaganushi walked back to the lieutenant.
"So handing it to me is a much better choice than forcing me to cut her into pieces, don't you think?"
Lieutenant Kato stared straight at the ambassador.
"Lady ambassador," he began as firmly as he could manage, "I regret I will not be able to fulfill my duty to protect you. No matter what, the seed must not fall into his hands."
Tomoaki Hime gave him a solemn smile.
"I am aware of that, Lieutenant,"
she said kindly. Anger had crept into Kaganushi's voice.
"Do you think I jest, Kato?"
He rushed up to him. A shadow blade had appeared in his hand, and he held it against the lieutenant's neck. The man did not flinch, his eyes still fixed on the ambassador.
"Like father, like son. This was your choice, Kato."
The demon waved his hand, and the mounted soldiers tumbled off their horses like rag dolls. They had been held captive by some unknown terror, and now dropped without any sound of protest, save for the heavy thuds on the ground. Mairin gasped. Seki stared at them. "Shinchioka Elite Soldier, level unknown, HP 0 of unknown." Siki gazed further and noticed they were all dead. Another wave from Kaganushi's hand and the horses collapsed silently. Mairin dashed forward, transforming into a fox in midair, but she fell short as Ipe grabbed hold of her tail.
"Patience, Foxy," said Ipe. "It's scripted this way. Nothing you can do."
Kaganushi turned his attention back to the man.
"Next is the ambassador,"
said the demon,
"and I swear I will not be as merciful on her as I was with your men."
"You can try, Kaganushi,"
cried the ambassador. She raised her hand into the sunlight, and the seed of light between her fingers suddenly shone with blinding brilliance, pushing back the darkness.
"You underestimate the power of the seed of light."
The demon grunted as if the radiance hurt him. He threw both arms forward, and multiple shadow blades came out. As shadow met light, the world trembled, but the sphere of light did not give way. Screaming in frustration, Kaganushi hurled out a second wave of blades at her, which perished into smoky wisps as it entered the light. With a roar, the demon clapped his hands together. His limbs merged into one long stream of shadow and slithered forward in the air like a black snake. The ambassador turned toward where Seiki and his two companions stood.
"He's forced to use his shadow essence," she cried. "He's now vulnerable where the lieutenant's blade has cut his armor."
The three of them sped forward at the prompt. Seiki leapt over a dead horse and charged with his focus strike. Before he could reach the demon, he could see that Lieutenant Kato, who had been waiting for this chance, jumped to his feet, ready to pierce his sword through the demon's body. The black shadow snake from Kaganushi's two hands made a lightning swerve back and swept the lieutenant aside like a whip. The man let out a cry and collapsed on the ground. His sword flew from his hand and landed several feet away, skidding noisily against the street. Maiden the Fox had reached the demon when the black snake swerved around again and caught her as she leapt at him, throwing her aside against a building. At the same time, the structure collapsed under a mysterious force, burying the fox under a pile of rubble.
"Pests!" cried Kaganushi.
Seiki was ready with his focus strike. He aimed directly at a dark opening in the armor just under the demon's ribs, but the black snake came to stop him, too. It hit Seiki squarely in the chest before he could block and threw him backward. His lumbar region went numb as he crashed onto the ground. He heard Ipe's grunt as the smoky snake whipped him aside. With a quick glance, Seiki located the bamboo sword which had flown off his hand. He was reaching for it when a sense of utter terror descended on him. His heart started racing in wild panic, and he felt like getting up and fleeing. But his body would not move, trembling uncontrollably. He took a deep breath as he stopped himself from crying out. This was what the demon had used on the troops earlier, Seiki thought to himself as he fought the feeling. Ipe had landed somewhere behind the demon and was part hidden from view, but Seiki could note that he was also immobilized. The demon looked around in disgust.
"You really believe this little trick of yours would work, Tomoaki?" he sneered at her. "You have underestimated the fact that my shadow essence has grown in power, my dear Hime-sama. What a great gift from Captain Okamoto, was it not? In exchange for the 50,000 lives of the Morishige army, a trade his commander did not wish to make."
With his body still shaking uncontrollably, Seiki could not turn to look at the ambassador behind him. Further away, Ipe, who had been hurled to the other side of the demon, seemed sickly pale. There was no movement from the building rubble that had collapsed on Mairin.
"Shinshioka has fallen far," continued the demon, the dark snake that was his arm swirling around him. "Now I see that you are even allowing citizens to fight for you. Patriots, I'm sure."
He glanced at the lieutenant, still unconscious on the ground, and his lips parted in a nasty smile.
"Unfortunately, the lieutenant is unable to do us the honor of bearing witness to their deaths, too."
The black shadow snake hissed, and without warning, a dark pool of liquid shadow appeared under Seiki, as if he had sunk into ink. Seiki struggled while it seeped up his legs and his health started dropping. The terror intensified, and Ipe let out a scream. Sparing them no attention, Kaganushi's snake hand shot forward toward the ambassador. Seiki could hear her cry.
"No!"
Her voice was desperate, and the radiance from the seed of light that had been holding the shadows at bay started to fade.
"Do you not remember what happened to the light essence that Captain Okamoto gave to me?"
bellowed the demon.
"All lights eventually perish once they stand in the darkness for too long, Tomoaki. I'm certain the seed of light is no exception, after which there is nothing but shadows."
Ipe was still screaming, and Seiki felt like yelling too at his inability to do anything. He struggled in vain against the ice-cold ink that had crept up to the middle of his back and was devouring his health. He heard the ambassador collapse behind him, and the demon let out a long laugh. Kaganushi drew back his shadow hand, now wrapped tightly around the seed of light, whose glow had become so dim it looked nothing more than a common pearl. Seiki's health had drained to less than a fifth now, and his heart was beating fast from the silent sense of dread. His arms still trembled violently, and his head started to spin. The numbness had reached his neck, and he could no longer feel his body. Before his eyes, a dark fog descended, luring him to sink into a sleep of endless nightmares. Seiki suddenly knew what to do. Using the last of his strength to force his mind to focus, his strength of will kicked in, flooding him with renewed energy and mental clarity. The drain on his health paused, and terror fell away from his heart like dry leaves falling off an autumn branch. Grabbing his sword, he sprang to his feet, and the shadow liquid slid off him like drops of oil. He ran in and struck the shadow snake with his sweeping blade, knocking it out of the way as he rushed at the demon. The snake swerved back. Seki knew that his health was so low that he could not afford a single hit, so he ducked under. Ipe, who had also